Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Again. Hare Krishna, everybody again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And now, like you really mean it, sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
하레 크리스나. When Krishna finally agreed to be bound by his mother to the mortar, the women of Braj who had assembled there to see Mother Yashoda's hard work were simply amazed. First, this boy cannot be bound by any length of rope. And then finally, the mother binds him and he is helplessly standing there. This is so wonderful and delightful. And they simply chuckled. Mother Yashoda was in mixed emotions. She knew she had to chastise Krishna. And Krishna was crying and crying like anything to make her feel, to break her resolution. But she knew, if this is the last thing I do, I have to punish this thief. So she pretended to ignore his grief and went away, taking all the ladies with him into the household to pretend to have to do something. She wanted to show Krishna, this is too much and your tears will not soften my heart. But before she went, because she loved Krishna so much, she went to all the little boys who were fearfully standing at the edge of the houses. You know, it was taking place in here, the courtyard, and the Sudha, Madhu Mangal and so on, they were hiding here, you know, because they knew mother is really angry. We better don't come closer now. So she went to the little boys and said, go to my kanai, stay very close around him and protect him if there is anything which needs to be protected. You go. So Krishna was there crying, the little boys being just around him, not knowing what to do. And he watched how Mother Yashoda disappeared in the house. And the moment she was gone, Krishna stopped crying and smiled and joked with the little boys. And he thought, now I will do something to make my mother cry. It's going to increase the heat of the pastime. I will now make my mother cry. So he looked around and then he started to tug at the rope. And he pulled the mortar through the courtyard in this direction, southeast direction. The boys laughed and joked. It looked so absolutely divine, or divine, that word would not appear in the Braj language in relationship to Krishna. It looked so fascinating how Krishna tucked the mortar and came after him and it went like this, moving, like mortars move. And then they were laughing and joking and they thought Krishna is pulling this towards the shade of these twin Arjuna trees, which were standing before the eastern direction, in the southeast. They were there like the V. They thought, our Kanai wants some cool shade. It was, after all, a very intense morning. And they followed Krishna as he approached the twin Arjuna trees. But Krishna had another thought. He thought, although I'm tied up, let me do something good for others. Jiva Goswami says that this is the sign of a great personality. He may see he is tight, he is constricted in many ways, but still he wants to do something for the benefit of others. I very much want to address the preachers amongst you, and I think it is many of you who at one time or another spread Krishna consciousness. We preachers should always know we are peons, means carriers, of a divine message. We may not have realized it, but it's so powerful if someone hears the message of Krishna consciousness from our lips. Although we may take big words in a mouth which is much too small for these big words in terms of our realization, these words will act. They can act in delivering conditioned souls. So I like this comment very much of Jiva Goswami. Krishna thinks, although I'm still bound, I will now do something for the good of others. And he came close to the twin Arjuna trees. Who were these twin Arjuna trees? They were in a previous millenniums the sons of Kuvera. But because of their pride and false prestige, they were cursed by the great Saint Narada Muni. This morning we heard how one can be blind in three ways. Janmamanda, that means from birth one is blind, one is born blind. One can be Kama Manda, that is blinded by lust. And one can be Dhamba Manda, that means blinded by pride. So these two, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, were blind and they couldn't see the spiritual truth. And how this is so, we did some research on this, their lives, will become very obvious. And I request you now to listen with two ears to this katha. One is, okay, what happened? The second is, how could this possibly relate to me? You have two channels, ear channels. One is to just for information, the other for application. They were cursed souls. Now, the listener to this katha is who? Parikshit Maharaj, who's also cursed to die within 7 days. And when he heard now about two souls who were also cursed, his ears perked up very much. He was very interested to find out what will happen to these. He asked, therefore, Shukadev Goswami to narrate a little bit more about these two because he felt sympathy for them. And then Shukadev Goswami gave the history. Nala Kuvara and Manigriva were the sons of Kuvera and lived in the most opulent town of the universe. Who knows the name of the town? New York, someone said. That's not wrong. Las Vegas, also not right. Ala Kapuri. Their father, Kuvera, is the richest man of the universe because he is the treasurer of all the treasures of the devatas. He himself is not blind, but by this wealth and pride, because he is a great devotee of Lord Shiva, who resides just very next to him on Mountain Kailash. When you go now in this range of what was previously the Himalayas, I mean, now it's Tibet, and the Chinese think it's China. So if you go there, you will find Mountain Kailash when you approach from Lhasa direction there on the right side, and the mountain of Kuvera, his great devotee, just next to him. If you would have a helicopter and fly over this mountain where Kuvera lives, you will find it is formed in the shape of a swastika, the auspicious sun symbol. There Kuvera lived. And he would regularly go and serve Lord Shiva. And his sons would accompany him and often walk behind this greatest of all Vaishnavas. They were very close to him and had the opportunity to serve Lord Shiva by putting water before him and so on. Nala Kuvera Manigriva had all the money from the treasurer of their father, and they spent everything in gold coins. They were really opulent and soon became overwhelmed with pride. They were allowed to live near to Kailash, but their consciousness was not really fit for this exalted blessings. Once, they invited a few beautiful girls to party with. They came from Alakapuri, and they went into the Nandakanana garden, where the heavenly river Mandikini flows. It's just next to Mountain Kailash. It was a very sacred atmosphere there, where only saints and sadhus lived, who chanted various hymns. But Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were so out of their minds that in this atmosphere, where the sadhu lokas were, they took from a strong liquor called Varuni from Alakapuri. And which brings out the bad qualities. I'm almost thinking of fallen. Yes, this is the right sound for this. I'm always thinking of, almost thinking of a school class of teenagers who take some marijuana along and go to some idyllic place and then have some Johnny Walker or vodka. We have many Russians, and then they get drunk and go out of their minds. So they drank so much that their eyes started to roll. Then they took off the clothes of themselves, and the ladies also were not dressed, and they went for water sensuality in the Mandikini Ganga. When they saw the many lotus flowers which were there, which were meant to be offered to the Lord, they impudently went there and smelled at the lotus flowers to enhance their sensual experience. Their minds were only filled with ideas for sense gratification. They had absolutely no sensitivity for the sacred atmosphere, and the Lord had to make a plan to wake them up. At that time, the great saint Narada Muni, who had just visited Lord Shiva, passed by. he was wandering on the banks of the Ganga to look at the beauty. Most probably he must have thought about the conversations he just had with Lord Shiva. He was in a very, very spiritual mood, and all of a sudden he sees this scene with the partying demigods there. Is totally shocked. It's such a breakage. It's almost like you are in the Govardhan retreat and all of a sudden a big, big marriage music starts. You have a kirtan and you sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then the music starts on the street. We might have the experience of it soon. It's marriage time. And the sound, very with the most primitive rhythms, the most easy to understand melodical lines, are violently attacking your eardrums, and the singer sings songs like Sanyasi, come home, and it's so absolutely contrastful to what you have here that you are shocked. How is it possible? You think. So the girls saw this. They saw Narada Muni's reactions, and they immediately rushed out of the water. They covered themselves, and trembling, they hid themselves. But Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, they thought, we have a right to be here. Our father, Kuvera. We are grown up here. We can do what we want. And in this way, they felt very offensive. What does the sadhu have to be here? He's just disturbing. Doesn't he see this? They were so much kamanda, covered by karma and intoxicated that they lost all their vision. When Narada Muni saw them, he just looked at them with eyes which said it all. And he then knew he needed to use strong words to wake up these people. This is what a sadhu sometimes does. He is using strong words which cut the goat of our material illusion at the neck, and it's sometimes very intense, and those who are real disciples embrace these words. Those who are only in name disciples, they protest and become angry and revengeful. So Narada Muni said, "Oh, you blind men, can't you see that your material body is entirely in the grip of material nature? Can't you understand that after some time your body will die, and it is either given to the animals to be eaten by them, or it will be burned and turned into a handful of ashes? If it's buried, it will be even eaten by worms and by bugs. Still, a person like you, who is covered by ignorance, identifies with it and thinks he is a president or a demigod. But in the end, this body will turn into stool or ash or decompose. Despite all these nice clothes, it will perish. And then the Atma will move on. Nobody knows where he will be born next. Nor can he see what will come to him after death. Therefore, why do you sin on behalf of the body and cause misery for others? And then Narada Muni thought, These words are not enough. They need to learn by experience what it means to be covered by lust. And he said, in his mind, he first thinks, these are his thoughts, a poverty-stricken man naturally becomes humble. You know, when everything is taken away from you, you become humble. You have nothing more to cover yourself up with wealth, with prestige. The verse is, or when your good name is taken away, you are reduced to what you really are, and you turn humbly to the Lord. So he thought, the poverty-stricken man automatically gains the results of austerities and penances that are gained voluntarily by saintly people. See, when you are humbled, you have nothing to do. You have no supporters. You have no people who like you any longer. You have nothing. You have only yourself and whatever little you have in your heart. That is a result which great saints only attain after a long, long time of performing austerities, where they divest themselves of everything else, where they are reluctant to speak in public. And if they do, they will speak words of a fool so that no one is attracted to them. They will give up all their wealth. They will give up all their social position, because then they can turn to the Lord without an impediment. I remember once a devotee, I believe it was Madhavananda Prabhu, told me about a person in Braj who used to sit in the katar of a learned katar giver. He was very disheveled. He wore a blanket, black blanket or other cloth, and was dressed niggardly. Niggardly. I hope it's the right English word, but badly. He was dressed badly. He would shake with his head, and he would sometimes mumble incoherent words. So he would come every lecture. And once the katar giver met him as he was exiting the area where he gave a katar, and he decided to address this man. Oh, you're coming every day to my katar. The man spoke back in a very cultured language, a very high language. He said, yes, I'm coming. And maybe he had said, you do a few mistakes in your Sanskrit, said the man. What? I do not know. I'm making this maybe up, but there was some conversation. And at the end, this wealthy katar giver said, I can see you are very, very cultured. And the man said, yes, I was the dean of a big university in the Sanskrit department. But I'm voluntarily becoming like this, because then I will not be worshipped. Then I will not be regarded highly. Then I can just concentrate on Krishna. Change of perspective, my dear devotees. We run after the wrong things. We run like after gratification in a moral way and in a good way, as devotees do. But this may not be good for your spiritual advancement. It is better to just turn to Krishna as a humble man. Do it before you become a humbled man or a humbled woman. Because Krishna wants to see his devotees free from this blindness, this kamanda and damanda. He wants to see them free. And if the devotees can't get it themselves, he will take when he loves the devotees, these blindnesses away from the devotees, because the Lord is the best doctor, the very best doctor, who is compassionately thinking of curing the eyesight of his devotees. So, Narada Muni began to think of this. And then he pronounced his curse. Since these persons who are drunk with a liquor named Varuni or Madhvi are unable to control their senses and have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence, have so become so attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. Become trees. Yes, become trees. You will be able to remember your past sinful activities so that you can correct yourself. Malagriva Nalukumara said, no, not trees, not trees. Can you not bless us? Can you not help us, the trees? Narada Muni said, I see some repentance in you. I cannot take back my curse and I will not take it back, but you will be trees who stand before the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And when Krishna is there, taking his birth in the next millennium, thousands of years, many, many, many years ahead, then he will come and he will deliver you from your curse. And so it became that Nalakuvera Manigriva went down, took on the forms of strong Arjuna trees and waited for the day which is now coming, because now the eyes, the restless darting eyes of the charming personality of Godhead, who surrounded with his joking, giggling friends, have fallen on the trees in a special way. They have fallen on the tree because Krishna remembers Narada Muni's. He thinks in his mind, I have nothing to do with these two. They haven't performed no bhakti. But my bhakta, Narada Muni, he is so much full of love for me. I have to do what he wants. I have to deliver them. I would not deliver just anyone, but my bhakta has pledged for them. I will now deliver them. This is another episode in the Damodar Leela where Krishna, the unborn, independent Lord, is bound by the love of his devotee. This time, Narad Muni. Hare Krishna. Krishna. I don't know how you listen to these things. I do not know what is going on in you. My dear devotees, our Lord is not a distant Lord. Our Lord is a Lord who is full of love for his devotees. Our Lord is a Lord who's very grateful for every little service which is rendered. He smiles patiently even when his devotees commit an ocean of offenses against him. And his heart is tormented with pain when he sees his devotees suffering. He is a close God. He is a loving God. And he appropriately makes arrangements for each of our advancement. I request you now to turn to Giriraj. No, we can have 2 minutes of questions. 2 minutes, a little time of questions. I will try to answer. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Mandaleshwari. The question of this devotee is about kindness of the heart. She sees in Europe so many poor people, those who fled from Syria and so on, and asks herself, should I give them something? They don't take prasadam, or it's not possible to give them prasadam. Can we give them Lakshmi to help them? But I know they will take meat and maybe alcohol and so on. What I know about charity is about a charity which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati ordered to be given. He was once passing with his disciples by some beggars, must have been a holy place or something. There were these rows of beggars, and the devotees all passed these beggars who were there holding their hands asking for some money, and they passed and no one gave a donation. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stopped and said, those who are grihasthas amongst you should give them donation. Our Lord Mahaprabhu said, be merciful to the jivas, jiva daya. Now, these were Indian beggars, and Indian beggars don't eat meat, or do they? Maybe nowadays they eat, and so on. Mandaleshwari, you will hear different answers from different persons. There is the line that those who give charity to those in the mode of ignorance, this is charity in the mode of ignorance. I have always kept by that line and tried to give them other things. Also beggars who stop the car in Delhi or wherever, we give prasadam always if it's possible. Or you could give a donation. This is what I did when I became aware of the misery of the refugees. I gave a donation which was for a certain purpose, bedding, you know, that it was not used, because I felt so compassion. I did it one time, 50 euros, but I just felt like I have to respond to this. I can't just be holier than everyone else and just and so on. I have to be a human and so on. But generally, I don't think we should. We should see there's so much misery in the world. How can I not just give some temporary relief, but how can I do with my energy something which does benefit for others and become a very dedicated and committed preacher of Krishna consciousness? I think this idea of compassion must be cultivated by every Vaishnava. Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur says compassion is the main dharma of Vaishnavas in this world. If Vaishnavas develop a hard heart, they will also, in our own, amongst themselves, they will be judgmental and bad to each other. Hard-hearted Vaishnavas is a contradiction of terms. You must be compassionate, but you must look for ways that you don't get in the mode of contact the modes and so on. Whenever I see personally misery which touches my heart, I become just very dedicated. And that is one of the reasons why we opened Braj Care. We give medicine and everything to poor people, because I know I must be compassionate. I come from a very wealthy background. I tend to be arrogant. I must serve others selflessly, and so that I can cure my heart. It is very important. But I must do it in Krishna conscious ways. Krishna. Compassion without a compassion. Something is missing. If you don't have compassion, if you preach without compassion, you do it only for yourself, not for others. A Vaishnava whose heart is not compassionate and who does not have an interest to develop compassion is not dear to Krishna. Only if you are caring for Krishna's living entities are you dear to Krishna. This comes in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, where it says, one cannot enter the kingdom of God when one is not compassionate. And the Lord is pleased if his devotee develops mercy, kindness, friendship, and compassion. Daya. Very important things. It helps also. See, spiritual people in a spiritual movement sometimes come into the problem that they only do everything to serve themselves, to become more advanced, more pure, more exalted. That's all. Me, 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 me. Like, that is not good for Vaishnavas. It's not the right thing. But don't do compassion in the mode of ignorance and so on. Do it rightly in Krishna consciousness. So, Hare Krishna, let us end by singing. Ravi, you are back, and with you all the melodies, which I know are back.
Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare,
I feel we are now moving into a very relevant part of our Damodar Katha. We hear of two very fallen souls who are blessed, cursed and blessed at the same time by Narada Muni. And we hear of their encounter with Krishna. It's very, very moving. I thank you very much for kindly listening to this, this program or this part of our Govardhan retreat. I wish you a wonderful remaining day with good realizations in your spiritual life. And yes, it is my sincere desire that you think a little bit about the theme. The theme of turning to Krishna. Please keep this theme alive in your spiritual life. Throughout the day, always ask yourself as you are on the roof chanting, am I turning to Krishna? When you discuss, is these discussions useful in Krishna consciousness? What I say now, is it beneficial helping others to come closer to Krishna? With this little formula or sentence, turning to Krishna, the merciful Lord of Vrindavan, everything will become spurta. It will, you know, the experience of being here, which is open like the yogurt pot, which was handled by Krishna, and he broke it open and the yogurt started to flow out. So in the same way, when you turn to Krishna, you will see how your experience will open and give way for deeper and more Krishna conscious the insights than usually. I wish you a good remainder day, all the best, and Hare Krishna!